Hey-ho, folks. Welcome back to another episode of Pro Wrestling Review. It's a song that never ends. Yet again, we've got Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. We're going to discuss that and much, much more, the build-up to the SummerSlam card. My name is Michael Hoff, of course. You can follow me on Twitter at TheFFRealist. Joining me, as always, Anthony Servino, who's at The Real NFL Guru, and Dan Siegel, who's at Dan Siegel Uncut and needs to unmute himself now that we are done with the intro. He is ready to roll. Fellas, how's it going?
Doing great, Mike. How are you?
Wonderful.
Dan, are you unmuted?
I was very aware that I was still muted, okay? I was letting Mike go through his spiel before I unmuted myself. I was fully aware.
I appreciate that then. All right, so there you go. So we are on YouTube, of course, so feel free to check us out there. We are under, if you look up FF Faceoff, you could find us there. And then, of course, we're on all the podcast channels, so get on that, please. But guys, let's just get right into it, and then we'll just hit a bunch of talking points and go off the rails like we usually do. Top story, though, I guess, whether you like it or not, has to be Roman Reigns, yet again, in the main event. I mean, how bad of an idea do you think this is, with Brock Lesnar getting ready to leave the company for the time being, and Roman Reigns, the guy that nobody wants to be champion, pretty much, are going to wrestle, and it could potentially close out the show? Your thoughts?
Didn't we initially, the consensus, when I say we, WWE Universe, whatever you want to call it, didn't we want to see Lesnar and Bobby Lashley? Isn't that what we expected? I know that's what I expected ever since they brought Bobby Lashley back. I don't want to see Roman and Brock again. Do you? Do either one of you want to see this?
The only reason why I don't want to see it is because I know the reaction it's going to get. I mean, Dan, say something.
First of all, how many times do we have to see it?
Thank you.
Because I feel like this is like the 10th reincarnation.
Right.
And Mike, you and me talked about it Monday night. I'm still not letting go of the idea that this is still going to turn into a triple threat match. I always thought that was going to happen at the pay-per-view when Lashley won outright, which kind of surprised some people. And now we could have a situation where, you know, Roman is in and then Lashley comes out, brings out the point that he won the first time and that, you know, they've essentially split and this could lead to a triple threat match. So I'm not going to completely let go of that.
Right.
Then if you want to go a step further, and this will kind of be determined, I guess, Monday when Brock supposedly shows up on Raw with Heyman, is I'm still not, despite everything that has happened, going to believe that he's there.
You with this idea that and Anthony with Kamala, I don't know who to talk to anymore.
Just hear me out on how this would play out.
Okay, I want to do yours, and then I want to do mine, because Mike and I had a conversation off air about
you do
how
me.
They could...
You do me, then I do you. Go.
Perfect.
All right, let me flesh this out. Brock doesn't show. Therefore, Angle essentially has to strip him of the title, forcing Roman and Lashley to fight essentially the third time. And therefore, somebody gets the title without Brock ever being beaten. So when Brock comes back, you already have that built in. Not to mention, despite all of this, you still have Braun and the briefcase hanging over the whole thing.
Okay. Anthony, your take.
This whole Money in the Bank briefcase, right?
Right.
Remember what I said about Kevin Owens somehow getting the briefcase? He's going to somehow get the win over Braun Strowman and then cash in on either Brock or Roman. That's how I see this playing out.
I like Anthony's idea.
I know Dan's saying it's not going to happen, but why not? That would be exciting. It would also be somewhat repetitive to SummerSlam's past, no?
Yes, it would, actually, yes.
But isn't that the best way to go? Because unless this is all a work between the UFC and the WWE, unless this is all a work, Brock has to lose his belt. Right?
You would think.
Okay.
I think we're all in agreement that as sure as we were that he was going to lose it at WrestleMania and then he didn't, we're just as sure that he's got to walk away from SummerSlam without it. Yeah. But the question is, who walks out of SummerSlam with it? And I'm not sure that any of the three of us are willing to say that it's going to be Roman or Lashley.
Yeah, no. And yeah, and I still think this can become a triple threat match. Because also, if you take a look around the internet, if you take a look at what the rumored card is, the rest of the card, I haven't seen Bobby Lashley's name anywhere else. If I would suspect, if he wasn't in that title picture, maybe he winds up wrestling Elias, because Lashley was one of the last guys to interrupt Elias. If you should watch Raw, just whatever, that's a whole other thing. Hey, let's take the guy who's selling like hotcakes on iTunes and let's I get it, he's all over the show, but let's just keep interrupting him and only giving him a 30-second spot. Whatever. That's the only other thing I could see Lashley doing, besides wrestling for the belt. But
what a waste of bringing him back.
See,
Lashley.
Right. But the only light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm sure we'll get to this later, is the fact that Samoa Joe could finally be getting the push. So maybe Lashley just has to wait his turn.
Samoa Joe's not getting a push. He's getting put in the same spot he's been in like seven
times. I can't wait
to
talk about this later because I absolutely loved every second of the Samoa Joe spot.
Yeah, we will get to that in a little bit, though. But, I mean, here's the other thing about Lashley. I know Anthony just referenced, you know, what a waste of a return. And I get it. It seemed rather lackluster here. Just picking up recently in the last few weeks. But you have to imagine if he's not in the title picture at SummerSlam.
He's getting the Ron Simmons treatment.
I mean, the moment SummerSlam's over, he's back in the title picture, right? I mean, whoever wins it, whether it's Braun, whether it's Kevin Owens, he's going to be in or around the title picture, right? You have to imagine.
And you know? And Anthony, you say what a waste of bringing him back. It's not his fault that they booked him horribly. All right, the Sami Zayn feud was horrible. Then we finally get something that's gaining traction with Roman. They put him over Roman, which looks like now we're finally getting somewhere. And then they put the halt right back on him by him losing to Roman on Monday. Bad creative all over again.
Is it bad creative? Are we coming down too hard on creative? Or is it the fact that there is no competition and the roster is flooded that we expect kind of everybody to be in the main event picture? It just can't happen. Maybe there's not enough mid-carders and jobbers.
No,
maybe the old structure was the best structure.
What was the point of having Lashley win at the pay-per-view to lose on Monday?
To have him still look semi-strong?
It's stupid.
I get it. It is stupid, but it's to make him look semi-strong.
I know. I get the reasoning, but it's stupid. They could have went 800 other ways and had it make more sense and still gotten the same result.
I think the only way they could have gone here with getting as little criticism as humanly possible is if they just had Lashley win outright on Monday. I think if he had a triple threat, I think people would have still been pissed that Roman was in there. And I think people would have complained, even though you and I both kind of agree that that would be a good way to go, we probably both would have complained that it was too predictable. And obviously nobody wants Roman in there. It's just, you know, and I like Roman. I still do like Roman. But who cares? I don't know. Whatever.
And I know.
I just,
and real quick.
Yeah.
And real quick before we move off this, I know you guys both are all over the Kevin Owens thing now. You guys are taking the bait completely here. This is a swerve. That's all this is. They want to throw you off what seemed like the most obvious thing, which was Strowman cashing in at SummerSlam. They're now doing this to throw you off of that.
Well, it's working.
The briefcase isn't going anywhere.
Well, we'll see what happens when we have our predictions. So, there you go. Anthony, you have anything else to add on this, on the title picture on Brock Lesnar, on anything there?
No.
No? Okay. There you go.
No. Good.
All right. So, you know what? Let's do something here. Again, I said before we got on air, we always just go off the rails. So let's just kind of just spread this open here. I want to hear from Anthony first, then Dan, because Dan will probably be more spirited. What's something you took away from Raw or SmackDown that you liked or didn't like that you couldn't wait to talk about, which now I'm teeing it up for Anthony because I already know what he wants to talk about. But
well, I want to talk about Samoa Joe. I love the spot.
Well, then go ahead. The floor is yours.
To me, that was a classic.
Now, let me ask you, what did you love so much about the spot?
I felt like it was a classic heel spot, right? That's something you would have seen 30 years ago.
We also have a classic heel spot with Roman who keeps barking in the background. What's his deal?
Hungry.
Yeah, well, you know. So Samoa Joe, apparently, but go on.
But it was the ultimate trickery. To me, James Ellsworth was hired by Samoa Joe. I don't believe for one second James Ellsworth is out of the WWE. It's all a work, obviously. And he was put up to the task by Joe. And I think they're going to go somewhere with Samoa Joe. And Dan, I get what you're saying, how this is a swerve. But this could be Joe's time to shine. He looked great in his heel spot. And I'm not sure if you guys read the article I dropped in our chat the other day that the WWE is booking their heels terribly.
Well, I agreed with the article, but
like, what is Bobby Roode's status right now?
Oh God, withering.
Bobby Roode is yet another one in the line of NXT call-ups that has been booked horribly.
Bobby Roode needs to be a heel.
Bobby Roode gets less TV time than No Way Jose.
What the hell's
going on?
And you guys laughed at me when I said that they need to make NXT like a third brand to go up against SmackDown and Raw. But this is why. Because these guys get called up and then they're nothing. I mean, we can go down the list. Bobby Roode is just one of many.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. If I worked for that company, if I was like Vince McMahon, I would just walk into creative and I would just flip a table and I would just scream fix it and I'd walk out.
But I think that's why I like the spot so much, because it was a classic heel move. It was a heel being a heel. Randy Orton, and I missed the spot because I was, you know, been battling the infection or whatnot. But Randy Orton, Mike said, put on a great heel promo, right?
Are we talking about this week or the past week?
Which one were you talking about, Mike?
What's that? I'm sorry.
The Randy Orton. You're me this week.
Oh, the Randy Orton promo. No. I'm sorry.
Are we talking about the start of the show this week?
Yes, we are. And I have NXT on this TV because I'm watching NXT. We're about to see the title match. Gee, I wonder who's going to win this. But anyway, yes. I'm sorry, Anthony. Yes, I was talking about Randy Orton's promo to open up this week's Raw was effing brilliant. I want to go back and watch it. Yes. This is why. And Anthony, you said to me off air, you said to me, you feel like Orton's a guy who should always be heel. And this promo that he cut, it proves your point. And you didn't even watch the damn thing, right? Which I know you will, but I'm just saying.
But it's brilliant.
He touches on every nerve of the fans because it's hard for a guy like Orton because the fans want to like Orton because he's cool, because he's badass. He hit all the right nerves. I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was one of the best parts of SmackDown.
Right.
Of SmackDown, hands down.
You have Joe being a heel. You have Orton being a heel. You have McIntyre and Ziggler going over as major heels in the company. I feel like they're doing everything right. At least from a heel perspective. The article identified the problem, and I feel like the WWE is trending in the right direction, at least there.
Maybe within the last few weeks, sure. Yeah.
I was going to say, if you want to find the one nugget of something they might be doing right, because there's plenty of things that they're not.
And I even feel like I'm missing one that I was really impressed with. So come back to me. Oh, one more takeaway. And this goes back to my nostalgic love, right? I absolutely love now when they have squash matches like what they did with Bailey and Sasha Banks. I love these jobber squash matches. Like, I absolutely do. I get excited for them. These are the ones I want to watch.
Yeah.
I know Dan must hate it, but I'm happy about the jobbers.
I could care less about the squash match. If anything about the squash match, it's now we have to go back to Bailey and Sasha liking each other. Like, I thought we were trending toward finally getting a match.
Lesbian storyline.
Here we go. Mary and Joseph, you brought it up.
They absolutely need to turn ATL, it into how, a...
How much money did ATL Mikey PayPal you to have you bring that up on air? How much? 5, 10, 15? Darn it. You know, the whole thing that bothered me about the jobber thing with Bailey and Sasha was that I was expecting, since it was a jobber, I was expecting, all right, well, we're gonna get something here. We're gonna get some kind of turn, but there was nothing.
It was a waste.
And they managed to take what it was when Bailey attacked Sasha. It was phenomenal. They just could have gone right from there. But now they're doing this whole, I don't even, lovey dove fest, and they're best pals now. And now Sasha Banks likes to hug and talk about her feelings. I have a feeling it's all going to lead. I mean, the obvious assumption with that, this is going to turn into a Sasha heel turn now. That Sasha will be the bad guy.
Again?
I get. Well, Sasha, again, and this goes back to what Dan always criticizes you for. If you watch NXT, she was a terrific heel there. So she could pull off the heel rather well. I think she'd be a much better heel than Bailey would. So
they just do something with it. Good God. It's like you're trying to invest us in a story that you're not telling. But okay, since Mike, you're limiting me to only Raw and SmackDown as my criticisms, because I got criticisms for the pay-per-view too.
Well, I also said something positive that you're happy about. I know you like to criticize everything, but was there anything that made you happy? Was there anything that made you crack a smile? All right, fine. Just criticize something. Whatever. I tried.
No, I liked the fact that the McIntyre spot on Raw was good. I liked that. But now I have a problem with. We always talk about the tag division and how the tag division is stale. So now we have two teams that are basically screaming to be put in prominent positions in the tag division. And what do I got? On Raw, I have AOP against Titus Worldwide. Mm. Are you kidding me?
Worldwide?
Like, yes, because that's going to – the rub they're getting from Titus is just so beneficial, let me tell you. And then
Titus puts people over. That's what he does. I actually like Titus O'Neil.
Is Titus rubbing Authors of Pain really doing them a world of good? Is that giving them a bump?
I mean, it's like. What I said before, there's way too much talent that somebody's going to get stepped on over and over again. Like, you can't just beat the top guys all the time. If the Authors of Pain is fighting, you know, the B team, then what are they going to do with Wyatt and Matt Hardy? they all can't just be going at it in one ring.
No, they've got to build up is my point.
But like, who do you want them to beat to build up against?
Anderson and Gallows are still there, even though they're
jabbers.
You know, my point is you
beating
have
Anderson
you have
and Gallows is the same as beating Titus O'Neil and Apollo. The
Revival?
Only thing missing is Dana Brooke.
You guys keep going. I'm just listening. It's fantastic.
No. Here's the better one. Let's go to SmackDown. We've all sat here for 3 weeks and talked about how New Day. You know, is like we've seen New Day. Like New Day isn't really going anywhere. Like we've kind of got to the summit of New Day. So they have Sanity in the tag tournament. This is a perfect chance, especially coming off the pay-per-view in which Sanity beat them in a tables match. This is a perfect chance to give Sanity the bump and make them look like legitimate contenders. But no, they lose to New Day after beating them at the pay-per-view. And after we see what me and Mike looked at as a potential tease of Nikki Cross coming to the main roster, I mean, you want to talk about a swerve and something that would have created some buzz? What if Sanity had won the tournament, fought the Bludgeon Brothers, right? Where it's essentially a 3-on-2, which against the Bludgeon Brothers, you could have said is even odds. And then Nikki Cross makes her debut at SummerSlam, and she's the reason why Sanity goes over. And then that creates a bigger feud. But no, they lose to the freaking New Day. So now what am I going to get? I'm going to get Bludgeon Brothers versus the New Day, seen it. The Usos, seen it. Or wait, let's bring back Cesaro and Sheamus, because I haven't seen them in the title picture forever.
Well, listen, you're not going to make too many friends knocking Cesaro and Sheamus around here. I'm just going to put that out there. But
listen, I'm not knocking them. I'm just saying, can't I get some fresh blood anywhere?
It seems like you're getting hot and bothered about the same exact thing with Lashley and Roman as you are with Sanity and New Day. Both teams wanted the pay-per-view. Both lose the next week.
It doesn't make sense.
Well, apparently it does the WWE.
Oh, God.
But you know what? At this point now, I think the Nikki Cross thing, I think you're going to get her debut. I'm going to say now the SmackDown after SummerSlam, I say, is when you get her to come out now. Because, I mean, there's no it's piggybacking off of what you said. They lost in the tournament. So there's no real way to – there's no good moment to bring her in at SummerSlam unless you choose to waste that as well. But yeah, so I think that's going to be SmackDown after, because if you watch Raw when they did the whole announcement to the women's pay-per-view, which we'll get to that actually next, because that's a nice little topic to discuss.
Anything else for me to bash?
No shit. But yeah, but the whole point of that I was trying to get to was that within that, press conference or whatever the hell it was announcement, they weren't bashful about, you know, having her on camera. They weren't trying to hide her. She was right up front and center. So, and she's been going all the house shows. If you're on Twitter, if you're on anywhere looking up wrestling, you see it. She's at the house shows. So, but you know what? Let's get into that right now. Women's pay-per-view announced. Evolution, as it was called. I don't love the name only because it makes me think of Evolution. But whatever. But I also
that makes Anthony happy.
Well, it's true. But I also get the thought process behind Evolution, and that's really what this has all been. All right, guys, all women's pay-per-view. You interested or not?
Go ahead, Anthony.
I'll watch it.
Okay.
I'll watch it. I don't know what to expect.
That doesn't seem like a
straight
answer.
I believe they'll put on a great show.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of talent there, but I'm going to kind of go in there with an open mind.
Okay.
I also think this is kind of a, hey... remember that Greatest Royal Rumble thing?
Oh!
There you go!
Anthony! Thank you! Thank you so much for bringing that up! Because guess what? Guess what? Since we want to talk about the woman's revolution and all this crap, you know what this is? It's not even a, hey, this is a makeup for the one that we did. This
it's
is a,
good time
hey.
To get a beer.
Hey, when we do the next one and the women aren't invited, remember this. That's what this is. It is a prelude to, hey, don't give us a ton of shit when we do the next one in Saudi and they can't come. That's what this is.
It's hey, we got hit with a lawsuit and don't want anybody to know about it.
That's what this is. It's all a cover. It's hey, please don't give us a ton of backlash when we go back to Saudi and they can't come again. Now, as far as the pay-per-view on itself is concerned, like Anthony said, I'll watch. One, I'm still going to hold out. So I don't know if hope is the right word, but I'm going to still kind of sit there and wait eventually for some sort of announcement for a tag title. If you're going to do a whole pay-per-view and we're talking about like 50-plus women, a tag title's got to make sense in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, to make this work and really make this a pay-per-view that you want to draw people in, because let's face it, while we may not, you know, there is a contingent that really likes women's wrestling. Then there is a contingent that just watches it because it's there. And then there's a large contingent that just doesn't want any part of it. So if you want to try and get as many eyeballs to this all women's pay-per-view as possible, you have to create matches. And what I mean is you're bringing back a lot of the, you know, veteran women, if you want to do that. You know, the Trish Stratuses, the Litas, the Michelle McCools, you know, the Bellas, you know, things like that. You have to make matches that people have fantasized about. You know, whether it's Michelle McCool versus Charlotte or, you know, Trish Stratus versus Alexa Bliss, whatever. I'm saying you have to make some of these fantasy matchups that people never would have thought they would see, and this is the only chance that they have to see it. That's what will make this pay-per-view. But they've got to do it right, which again, I have no faith in them doing.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to it. And it'll be about a 25-minute drive away from my home, so I'll be trying to get tickets. Yeah, I get it. It's probably just a smoke and mirrors. Hey, you guys remember the Greatest Royal Rumble bit? You know, don't worry about that. Look over here. Look at this shiny object. I get it. But I still think it's cool. I still think it's well-deserved. And yeah, I do think that they need to have tag titles there of some kind. And I was reading on – Roman, calm down, Roman. I know you're excited too. I was reading something online. There was a rumor that was suggesting that they were going to do tag titles. I also, Dan, I don't know if you saw this. Dan, you tend to see these things a lot before Anthony would. I saw a rumor that they were considering combining the titles as far as, you know, the SmackDown Women's Champion and the Raw Women's Champion. They were talking about unifying that and having that champion be on both brands. Did you see that?
I didn't see it. That doesn't... See, that kind of...
I saw it. I thought it was disgusting.
I don't like it because why would you do that for the women's and not do it for the men's? Like, you're either going to do it for both or don't do it at all. Right. And it's the opposite of what they said is going to happen at this pay-per-view, which is you're going to get the SmackDown Women's title, the Raw Women's title, the NXT Women's title. Like, basically any title that a woman is attached to is going to be on this card. So... unifying it is, like I said, the opposite of what they're selling. So, but again, I don't like the idea.
Okay. Anthony, quickly, do you like that idea or no?
Nah, not really.
Okay. Perfect. So there you go. So yeah, so that that'll take place what I believe last weekend of October, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it'll be October 28th, the day before I leave for Florida.
Oh, all right.
Disney?
So
yes.
So nice, very nice. Enjoy yourself. So, yeah, Nassau County, Nassau Coliseum. I'll be there. I'll be there to check that out. Actually, Anthony, that was the scene of the crime when Luke Gallows was very mean to me and at the hotel bar.
I'm actually hoping that Mike will be live-tweeting
from the bar. I still don't look at him the same way.
My fiance just said from the other room, I hate him. So there you go. So
I don't look at him the same way anymore.
I want Mike to live tweet from the bar afterwards.
As long as it doesn't get me kicked out, sure, I could do that. Yeah. Paige, and Paige, by the way, for what it's worth, that's the night she got injured. She was very nice to me. She was nice. She answered my question, but she did kind of lie because I asked her if she was okay. She said yes, but turns out she wasn't. But whatever.
By the way, since you bring up Paige, real quickly, since you bring up Paige, I know you had put out a tweet that you wanted, you know, you want Paige on the All Women's pay-per-view because, you know, she was a pioneer as part of the movement, so to speak, and she deserves it, which I'm not arguing at all.
Yeah, damn straight.
My question to you is,
for sure, sure.
Obviously, she can't compete, so what would you have her do? I mean, obviously, she could be the GM,
I would do exactly that. I would make her GM for the pay-per-view. I would make her, okay. I would almost put her in that role of, you know, she's in charge of organizing the pay-per-view. You know, gotcha. Really, it's okay. Not her, but, you know.
Are we sure Paige is done, or is she in a situation like Daniel Bryan, where she's just waiting for clearance?
From what I heard, it was bad enough that she was pretty much done.
Okay.
I mean, who knows what could happen, but that's what I heard.
Okay. Just wanted to ask the question.
Not to mention, I think Daniel Bryan was one of those people that even when they told him never again, he never took that for an answer, whereas I don't know if Paige has that same mindset. I don't know if Paige is actually sitting there and trying to find ways and fight to get back in the ring. I think she might be content with what she's doing.
Potentially, sure. All right, let's get on to something else here. As the world turns, more Undertaker rumors. Anything? Dan, since you're so adamant about Brock Lesnar not showing up, are you as adamant about Undertaker, or what are we talking about? And then let's get to Anthony for his Daily Brothers of Destruction gossip. Go ahead.
Yes. everything on the rumor mill says that we're going to see Taker at SummerSlam, which I'm not opposed to, but then again, you know, we're what? Four weeks out? Are we going to have a build-up to this if there's a match? Or is it going to be, hey, by the way, it's SummerSlam. Oh, hey, here's Taker.
I don't know. Good question.
I think we're going to see The Undertaker. I know I want to see The Undertaker. Do I want to see The Undertaker and Cena again? I don't know.
Because that's the latest rumor I saw.
Well, the thing that we discussed, and we might have even discussed it on the show, was that what they had said was Taker was going to fight somebody in a rematch. Cena is the obvious one, but then we were kind of bouncing other people off there as who would be potential guys that would count as a rematch. Right. Which is when Anthony came up with this crazy idea of Taker fighting Brock and winning the title.
Well, I brought that up, too.
I know. Mike did.
Yeah. That was a joint idiotic idea. But we had that idea.
All right, as long as you both want to ride the special bus.
Absolutely. Why not?
Absolutely, man. I'll chill with Anthony. It's all good.
You wouldn't want to see that? One more run for The Undertaker?
I don't know if I want to see Taker in a ring with Brock.
Yeah, I think I'd be afraid, actually. I think I'd be a little worried.
I mean, that new hip could turn into an old hip real quick with Brock in the ring.
Real quick.
You know, said, and I'll maintain my opinion. Anytime The Undertaker is in a ring, it's a treat. He's going to get a huge pop. We're going to get the entrance. We're going to get the tombstone. We're going to get the works. We're going to get one step on a rope instead of five when he's walking the ropes. You know, that's what I want to see. What about Randy Orton and The Undertaker? Anyway, Undertaker appears on SmackDown and gets into a program with Orton.
I would say Orton's locked in with Hardy at this point.
Yeah, and which, by the way, the other rumor I read was that it was going to be Shinsuke versus Hardy versus Orton in a triple threat match.
That seems to be pretty locked in.
Which would be pretty awesome.
I think they have to. I think they have to do that because I don't know if Orton Hardy on its own is enough to make people want to watch that match.
Yeah.
It's like
been doing a lot with Shinsuke. Just the fact that he's in that match, it does make it more intriguing.
It's like I saw good Orton Hardy 10 years ago. I don't need to see the rebirth now.
Oh, by the way, quick mid show check. Who's going to NXT Takeover?
You are.
Good seats too, right?
Because I have a conscience. Because I have a conscience.
You have a conscience? What's that supposed to mean?
Yeah, I didn't feel like leaving my wife home alone.
She's your wife. She'll forgive you.
She would have. She even said she would have.
Well, just so that nice. There you go.
I'm just that nice a guy. What can I say?
Okay, well, you'll be a nice guy watching at home. And a ball will be waving at you.
I'll be flipping you off through the TV. Don't worry about it.
Trust me. I know you will. I don't doubt it. And if there's ever a dull moment during the show, which there won't be because it's a takeover, which, Anthony, you should watch, for Christ's sakes.
Seriously, Anthony, what do we have to do to get you to watch a takeover, finally? Because every one you say you're going to watch, and then you watch 5 minutes, if that.
And quite frankly, Anthony, you shouldn't sigh. You shouldn't groan. We shouldn't have to drag you to watch this.
Because I just have to do it. I got to bite the bullet.
Anthony, here's what happens.
Bite the bullet and have a good time?
Very similar to what happened today. Anthony doesn't watch NXT, so he knows none of these people. And then these people come up to the main roster, and Anthony's like he was today. I really like this Almas guy. He would have liked Almas 6 months ago if he ever watched NXT.
Okay, Almas. Okay, Almas out of how many? Almas out of what? Almas out of Authors of Pain, who are doing nothing. Almas and No Way Jose.
All right.
No Way Jose. Nobody liked No Way Jose anyway.
Bobby Roode, who you just said is buried. All right, I mean, what am I really missing out on?
I'm missing out on this guy.
Here's the deal.
I'm missing out on hugs. Right. I'm missing out on selfie sticks. I'm missing out on what, Fandangos? Whatever the hell he does.
What the hell did he just call him?
Fandango.
I think he's mixing up Fandango and Dunkaroos, the old snack.
I thought he was talking about Fandango.
Oh, yeah, the Fungo bats, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what
he
meant.
But really, I mean, what have I seen to attract me to NXT?
Okay, Anthony, I told you this last week. I probably told you it the last 2 weeks prior. It's like a broken record. Anthony, when we're done recording, okay, put on NXT TakeOver. Just pick anyone.
Just pick the Brooklyn one.
I'll pick the one with Adam Rose and his party bus, maybe. Where's he now?
Stop being a wise ass. Listen to me. Put on any takeover, okay? And force yourself to watch it wire to wire. Sit there with your V8 drink. Sit there with Roman. Watch a whole NXT takeover. And then text me when it's done. And then tell me that you are not entertained. If you watch a whole one wire to wire and say, nah, dude, I didn't like it, then I'll leave you alone.
Okay.
Because I get what you're saying. When you watch these main roster things and you watch Jose Jose come out, No Way Jose, whatever, and he's prancing all about and looks like a darn fool. I get it.
Because, you know, Adam Rose really worked out, so let's do it again.
But it's a completely different game, man. It's completely different. The energy is different. It's different. I'll tell you this right now. If you watch an NXT TakeOver, and maybe watch the last one that was in Brooklyn, I will not be surprised if you message me and tell me that you would like to go to TakeOver. I'll put it out there. I'm telling you. I will not be surprised.
Anthony, I'll tell you – I think I told you this before, but I'll tell you again. TakeOver is – first of all, TakeOvers are not as long as main roster pay-per-views. So you're typically getting – you're typically getting a handful to a half dozen, 5 to 6 matches. On every takeover, there's no more than 2 matches that you will say they were to not good. All right? You will have at least 4 matches that were above average. On main roster pay-per-views, you're lucky if you have 2 matches that you say that for.
Yeah, point.
The other cool thing, and I'm sorry – Dan, if you mentioned this, I know you mentioned quality of matches, but you mentioned the shorter pay-per-views, but you also don't have, like, there's no dog and pony show gimmick. Like, there's no Elias getting interrupted for 3.5 hours. It's literally wrestling match. Like, Anthony, you're a very old school guy. You want to cut the foreplay. You want the matches. This gives that to you. Match, match, match. And it's all, I'm telling you.
And
energy's unreal, and, man. I'm telling you.
And here's one more thing to continue to sell.
And go ahead. No. I'm going to let you go, and then I have one more thing after that to best equate it to Anthony.
Since we keep selling Anthony on NXT, here's one more thing that he'll like.
We're trying.
Anthony, who was, you know, lost in the 90s and 80s when it comes to wrestling, is a fan of the old school storylines and buildups. At TakeOver, when we have these main events and these title matches, these were built up. There was a storyline. You were invested in that match happening. Something that we don't get on the main roster. Because tell me the last match that had a legit storyline and build up to it on the main roster.
Right. And two things I'll tell you before we stop talking about NXT, because I don't know if Anthony's going to listen to us. But A, I'm watching NXT right now only because I knew there was going to be a title change. Tommaso Ciampa is your champion. You're NXT champion. So I don't even watch it every week. And I still am vested in these pay-per-views because they do a great job of telling the story during the show, before the match and during the match. So there's that. And you know what, Anthony, the last thing I thought of? You know how crowds are at like a college football game?
Yeah.
And like the big college games too. Like, have you ever been to a big college game?
No, actually.
Okay.
I'm not a big college football fan.
I can't stand you sometimes. All right, listen.
Yeah.
But
so okay. Anthony doesn't know about a prospect until he hits a draft.
Okay. But you know what I'm talking about, though? How the crowd's always a little more amped for that?
Yeah.
Okay. That's kind of what it's like. NFL is like WWE. You get your crowd. The crowd shows up. The crowd's excited. But there's always a different juice. It's a little louder. It's a little more rambunctious.
Yeah, but you're also getting all the talent.
Okay.
You're getting all the charades. I want the show, man.
Andrés Cien Almas has apparently turned some heads backstage after his match with AJ Styles. He's impressed the backstage brass and looks like he could be in line for a push. This is no surprise. I said this to you guys in our chat. That basically what Almas represents is now they don't need to bring back that douchebag Alberto Del Rio. They don't need to bring him back, have him here for a couple months for a tour through Mexico. Then he leaves, and then he insults Triple H to no end, but then he asks for a job back. They don't have to do that anymore. They don't have to rinse and repeat with that. They have this Almas guy, and yes, Anthony, even though you don't watch NXT, yes, he is good. Yes, and I'm very impressed by him.
He's got my attention.
He's very good.
I get what you're saying about Del Rio, but yeah. I think in the brass's mind, they've got a different comparison for him. I think when they look at Almas, they see Eddie Guerrero.
Well, no, yeah.
He negates the idea of somebody mentioning Alberto Del Rio in a boardroom meeting as far as coming back.
Exactly. Of needing a guy to bring back. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Okay, we're three, four weeks away from SummerSlam. Yep. So we're months away now from WrestleMania, something that I plan on and will do everything in my power to attend.
Yeah, me too.
At this moment, this very moment,
right now,
tell me, we'll just do SmackDown. Who leaves WrestleMania as the world champ?
Oh, Jesus.
If you had to guess right now.
So not as Universal Champion. You're talking about WWE Champion?
Yeah, I'm just going to go WWE. I'm not even going to try. Because if you're asking me right now, I think it's Almas.
I think it could be. I don't think – like, I wouldn't tell you that you're nuts. I would think either – okay, if I'm guessing right now, I'm just throwing names out there. I would say Almas confidently, and I would also say The Miz. Those are two things I would bring up.
I think that for the next, you know, 4 months or so, you're going to see Almas get moved up further and further and further. I could see him very viably. He had a good showing in this year's Rumble as an NXT participant. I could see him winning the Rumble this year and then winning the title at WrestleMania. That's the kind of push I think they're gonna give Almas.
All right, so you know what? And I agree, but I want to get the perspective from, and I know we were just ripping on him because he doesn't watch NXT, but all right, so Anthony, you've only seen Almas for a couple weeks.
Right.
What about him do you like, and do you sort of envision the same sort of thing that me and Dan do?
I think the upside's definitely there. I think he's talented. I love what he does in the ring. I like that he has the valet, who, again, the ultimate heel, and he's talented. You can tell he's talented, and he has that charisma, right?
Absolutely.
So he has it all. And I can definitely see that, but I'm not sure he's going to be the champion going to Mania. Who's going to be the champion Mania. Going to Mania? It's going to be Braun Strowman.
No, we're saying leaving Mania.
Two things. We're saying leaving Mania, and we're saying not Universal Champion, just WWE Champion. Unless you think Strowman's making a move to SmackDown, which will never happen.
And besides, if you want to go Universal Champion, you guys will both like my answer for that one.
Are you sure I will?
Is it Triple H?
No, God.
Is it the Brothers of Destruction?
No, I think
Kamala.
I think.
Well, okay, this is officially off the rails. Yeah, what do you think? God.
No, I think that when we walk out of WrestleMania next year, we could be seeing Almas as your SmackDown champion and Drew McIntyre as your Raw champion.
Boom! All about that shit.
I like it.
Love it.
Because I'm sorry. If you look at guys that aren't in that, and I understand that they've kind of inserted Drew somewhat into that title picture here as he kind of, you know, they put him in that somewhat, you know, quick tournament, if you want to call it that. So they've kind of hinted at him being in it, but he's not really in it. But if you look at guys that aren't really in the title picture right now and the way that they're trending, those are two guys that are kind of have the, you know, as Pritchard would say, have the rocket ship strapped to them, and they're trending that way. And I'm talking about doing the slow play here, stretching it out to Mania. I'm not talking about a guy who's winning a title in 2 months, because I don't think either of these guys are going that quick. But you can slow play it. You know, it's very easy to make them both viable in the Rumble, have one of them win, and then send them off their separate ways to Mania title matches.
Okay. I'll buy. All right. So, listen, we're getting – this is getting to be about an hour, right, as far as recording time-ish. We've pretty much covered all my show topics. Does anybody else have anything else that they want to discuss here?
I've got one thing from the pay-per-view that we didn't hit on.
Okay. What do you got?
Let's talk about the Rollins and Ziggler Iron Man match.
I do have something to say about that. That's right. I was pissed.
Okay. Rollins did an interview and said that the fans who were just completely, for lack of a better term, assholes during that entire match, screwed with Ziggler immensely during that match. And you want to blame... You can go a lot of ways. You can blame the fans for being the way they were. I could blame WWE for putting a clock on the big screen for them and not realizing that they weren't going to do something with that clock. But I'm going to go a different way. And this just goes back to what we were saying earlier in the differences between NXT and the main roster. You think about how we have had two Iron Women matches, one in NXT and then one on the main roster in the past year and a half or so. Mike can probably get the timing down a little better than I can. Okay. But the Sasha and Bayley Iron Man match in NXT, people were invested in that because of the storyline and the build up to it. You didn't have the shenanigans that we had for the Rollins Ziggler match. Same thing with whatever it was, Charlotte and whoever on the main roster, I'm forgetting. Okay, they actually had some build up to that match and made people invested. they don't do enough storyline and buildup for any of these matches anymore. The most buildup we ever get for a match is Roman crying about how he got screwed from Brock Lesnar for 4 months until he gets to fight Brock for the 15 billionth time. That's the buildup we get anymore. There's no buildup for anything else. If I'm ever going to sound like Anthony, I'm going to sound like Anthony right now. What happened to old school storylines? I get that we have to have a pay-per-view every month instead of every 4 months like it was in the old days, so storylines can't stretch as long as they used to, even though you could still do it. But still, can I not get any sort of build-up for anything?
Okay, I'm going to completely disagree. Listen, I get what you're saying. You want build-up. You want more than what you're getting. I get it. No, because you know what? No. It pisses me off. These stupid fans, they'll ruin a whole pay-per-view and make a spectacle out of it, and then they'll brag about it on social media whenever Roman Reigns is in the last match. So, oh, we got up and walked out. Oh, we booed the whole time. We did this. Then WWE finally gives these schmucks. They say, all right, fine. We won't put Roman last because we know it's going to be an unmitigated disaster. Because you guys just can't handle yourselves and you'll wet your pampers. So we'll go ahead and we'll give you the match that really should be last. The match that everybody wants to see. And we talked about it on the show. That was the match we were all most looking forward to. Yeah. 1,000%. 1,000%. Hands down. So they give you that match. And what do? You count down like a bunch of retards. What was the problem? Like, why'd you act like idiots? What's the problem? I'm sorry. Did they not cut off beer early enough? Like, what's your excuse there? What's your excuse there for revolting? The excuse is that just you're a bunch of tool bags that just want to make sure that you make a scene on a big pay-per-view. That's exactly what it is. So I don't want to hear people complain anymore. Oh, they put Roman on last. This is so dumb. Because you know what? When they put something else on last, you still act like fools. I don't want to hear it.
I like your point, Mike.
Feel free to at me at the FF Realist. Feel free to hit me up. I will more than happily respond. I don't want to hear this excuse. Well, they should give us more storylines. That's a whole nother topic. I wholeheartedly agree. They should give you way more than what they give you. 1,000%. And we should have the old school storylines where they give you solid buildup or what NXT manages to do with a very minimal schedule, they still manage to put together a fantastic story. But I don't want to hear it. There's no excuse for what they did during that pay-per-view. No excuse.
Mike, I have a question for you, and Anthony can't answer this because, again, he doesn't watch NXT. In a way, can we blame NXT for what we're dealing with now from a fan side? And hear me out on this. Before, you know, when we got the very first takeover and then NXT started to become, you know, a weekly thing on the network, that was the first time we saw crowds act like that. And it wasn't until we saw that we started to see it bleed over into crowds for the main roster. So I'm wondering, and I'm not trying to shift blame here. I agree with you. These fans are just idiots and it's on them. But I'm just wondering if that, you know, the NXT crowds almost set a precedent for people going too far and then becoming idiots on almost a daily basis anymore when it comes to stuff like this.
I think it's like anything else. You put something out there for people to enjoy, and eventually there's somebody who takes it to an extreme and makes it obnoxious. It's like anything else in life, you know. I don't know. But to me, that's how I view it. They gave you something wonderful with NXT, and then that's where fans are more lively, which is kind of what I was alluding to before. And, that probably bled into programming, and fans decide to use that positive energy into, we hate Roman Reigns, let's boo everything we do, everything he does. And now it's just, let's just act like jackwagons whenever we want. But yeah, but I kind of agree with what you're saying. That kind of probably, yeah, I can buy that.
I'm curious, now that we know that we're going to get Seth and Dolph again here at SummerSlam, coming off an Iron Man match, where they go for SummerSlam. Because just a regular one-on-one match seems kind of subdued coming off an Iron Man match.
Well, given how the fans acted, I wouldn't be surprised if WWE says, well, a one-on-one is all you get. And you should be happy with that.
Just feel like there should be a gimmick attached somewhere.
There should
be. And King of Gimmicks is right over there. I'm sure he's got a feel. Kane could be referee in an Inferno match as far as Anthony's concerned.
Anthony, you got any thoughts on all this? Or?
No, I'm just sitting back and enjoying a conversation.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know if he's paid attention for the last 10 minutes.
No, I think he's paying attention because I think he likes a good heated.
Yeah.
Heated podcasting, but yeah. All right, so you basically have nothing on that, though, but you agree a little bit with what I'm saying a little bit.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
All right, yeah. Just that's my whole bit. Because I get so tired of fans always complaining about Roman this, Roman that, and Roman ruins everything. And then, like, they gave that main event was what the internet wanted. And the internet, social media, we complained so much and said, why won't they just give us what we, like, this is what we all want. Collectively, they tried to give that to you, and you took a piss all over it. That's what happened.
This is why you can't have nice things, folks.
Thank you. All right, so there you go. You know what? Thank you, Dan, for bringing that up because I was able to get that off my chest.
That's what I'm here for.
You got anything clever to say about Kamala before we sign off?
No, not at all. Actually, he left a bad taste in my mouth after watching that bash at the beach against Jim Duggan.
Well, see, that's why you should be doing better with your time. And I can guarantee you, I will bet any dollar amount, I'll bet my children on this, any NXT takeover you watch will be better than that bash at the beach with Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Kamala.
Wow, he put his children on the line, man.
That's a safe freaking bet, man. It's Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Kamala.
Well, I hear you. You know, there's no chance of you losing that. But
that's, thank you, Anthony. Will you watch an NXT takeover?
Yes, I will.
Which one?
I don't know. I'll go look through them.
You want to pick one for you? You want me to help you out?
Yeah.
Maybe we watch it together. Maybe we could text while we watch it together. This is so nothing.
We could, or we could do a hangouts.
Yeah.
Or we could do a show and we can criticize it.
No, you like can watch criticize along. It.
I was saying, you're going to try and criticize it, and then we'll tell you why you're an idiot.
Yeah. We can do a watch-along.
We could do that. Yeah, fine, let's do that.
I'm down with that.
I'll say,
Anthony tries to take a piss all over NXT while me and Mike call him an idiot. There you go. You can watch that for 2 hours.
Sounds like a wonderful podcast that everybody will want to tune in for, including on the Grueling Truth.
Absolutely.
Right? We got to give Grueling Truth their props before we get off the air, right?
Absolutely.
Anybody?
Thanks for everybody
say, we
for
have
tuning
to get
in. And make sure you subscribe.
Yeah, gotta give
one at a time, goddammit.
Never mind, I quit. Just forget the whole damn thing.
Very good. And we'll sign off on that note. Anthony, got anything to say before we end it?
No. See you next week, everybody.
Absolutely. Cheers.